The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you so much. Brother Jeff, I don't want to embarrass you, but raise your hand for just a minute. I love Brother Jeff. His wife passed away, and we're having a memorial service this coming Tuesday, or this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock in the Soul Winning Hall. And if you're a relative, or it's a private memorial service, but if you're a friend and you know Brother Jeff, he would appreciate you being there. And so just an announcement. Please pray for him. Pray for his family. I know that they would appreciate that so very, very much. We love you very much. And so thank you for being here this morning. I know it's hard. Take your phone, if that's the one that's ringing, and find it and turn it off. I have a friend of mine who says this, that every time he hears a phone ring, you owe him a pizza. And I just want you to know, I like steak. And so if your phone rings, if you can see me after, and by the way, I like saltgrass steak. Yeah, and so if your phone rings and it disturbs the service, just meet me out there and you can give me a gift card after we dismiss. And that one, five people just got up and walked out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're in John chapter 7 and verse 37. You see, it's in the last day. There's a great feast that take place. Jesus makes a statement as he stands and he cries before the people. And he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You'll see in verse 38 that he makes a statement about believing on him and believing what the scriptures teach. In verse 39, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is introduced. And it is explained that the Holy Ghost has not yet come until after Jesus is glorified. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus has been glorified? Aren't you glad that for the believer, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to take residence with you? He's your guide. He's your comforter. He's your paraclete, which means he walks beside you. Aren't you glad about that? In verse 40, the people begin to give their opinions. And by the way, you'll see here that they're so divided about the opinions that they give about our Lord's statement and about his being able to tell them exactly what is taking place. In verse 40, the Bible says, many of the people, therefore, it says, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. So some of them stood very firmly and they said, we know who this is. I mean, after hearing what he said, we know exactly who this is. And by the way, they didn't say this might be the prophet. This could be the prophet. There is a possibility that this is the prophet. You notice how emphatic they spoke? This is the prophet. They spoke it very emphatically. Others said in verse 41, the Bible says this is the Christ. So right there, there's a divide. And so this is the Christ. And some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? So there's doubt that the statement that these who said, this is the Christ, there's doubt that these that heard the statement believe that it was. I mean, could Christ come out of Galilee? And verse 43, the Bible says, and there was a division among the people because of him. So Christ is the one, if you will, that made the statement. People now give their opinions of the statement in which he made. So I want to speak this morning on different opinions. Now, you live in a world that is very diverse. You live in a country that's very diverse. In our church, we have different tiers of people that have different types of vocations, different types of insights, different types, if you would please, of experience. And because of that, people are going to have diverse opinions. And so I want to show you, what do you do when there is diverse opinions? And by the way, you will have them. One day, you're going to have an opinion that's not like yours. Now, how are you going to deal with it? Over in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, we see this. And Elijah said unto all the people, listen to what he says, came unto all the people. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? All right, so here's a time when there's two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So let me give you some thoughts about opinions, different opinions. Statement number one, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, no matter who you are today. And by the way, opinions are just merely that. They're opinions. Somebody says, well, the sky is beautiful. Well, that's an opinion depending on the viewer. The same person could look at the sky and say, that's the ugliest sky I ever saw. That's an opinion. There are some things that when you make statements, it is just an opinion, okay? Somebody says, well, I tell you what, that outfit sure looks nice. Well, that's an opinion. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I like Chevys more than Fords. I do too, but that's an opinion. Somebody says this, well, you know, that costs too much. That's an opinion. Somebody says it costs too little. I've heard people say this in summertime here in Texas. You won't believe this. Some people say it's too hot. I know you don't believe that. While other people say that's just the right temperature. In the wintertime, I've heard people say, especially when I lived in the Northeast, it's too cold. But I have some people that told me in the Northeast, as they would say, and we lived in New York City there for a while, and some people go outside in the winter months, and they'd have short-sleeved shirts on. This is my kind of weather. All right, there's different types of opinion, and everybody, stay with me now, everybody's entitled to an opinion. But do not let somebody's opinion divide you in your fellowship. Always allow people room for grace. Always allow people room to, wiggle room, if you will, please, to be able to move around in their opinions. Just because your opinion is different than somebody else's opinion doesn't necessarily mean that your opinion is the right one, nor does it mean that it is the wrong one. You say, oh, preacher, you sound like a compromiser. No, I'm not talking about Bible truth. I'm talking about opinion. There is a difference between truth and opinion. All right, so let's notice now that everybody has an opinion. Statement number one. Statement number two, facts outweigh opinions. Facts outweigh opinions. Every single time, facts will always outweigh opinions. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 4 of the Bible says, God forbid ye. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. All right, so when it comes to the Word of God, let the Word of God, this is what he's saying, stand true. Other words, the Word of God, okay, watch this. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Now, you can't read into that really much. You know, well, this is what I think God said. No, it's pretty well spoken. Thou shalt not kill. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Well, I wonder what God meant by that. Well, I think he meant what he said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. I wonder what God meant by that. Well, I think it's pretty clear, probably as clear as the nose on your face, unless you have a small one. All right? But God makes it emphatically clear. So when God says something, then you can believe it. You don't have to worry about it. If your dad says, I want you to take out the trash, you don't have to stand there and start scratching your head and say, I wonder what dad meant by that. If your mom says, I want you to make the bed, your bed, in your room, I wonder what she meant by that. No, there are some things that is given and it is given forth whereby a person doesn't have to question what they meant. So when God tells us something in the Bible, he says, God forbid, yea, he says, let God be true and every man a liar. So when God tells us something, we always understand that the facts outweigh the opinions. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, listen to it now, which liveth and abideth forever. So how do we know what is true? Well, if it comes from the Bible, it's true.
Amen.
So if you have a book over here and it differs from what the Bible says, then the book over here is wrong and the Bible is true. Well, you know, I had a teacher that told me this, but they disagreed with God. Well, then they're wrong.
Amen.
Now, by the way, you don't have to make any bones about that. You don't have to say, well, I think that my teacher may be right. No, friend. If they disagree with God, they're wrong. You don't have to second guess God. God is always going to be true. God is always going to be right. We're not supposed to try and get God on our side. We're supposed to get on God's side. All right? The evolutionist said this, and by the way, it takes a lot more faith to believe in the falsehood of evolution than it does to believe in the Creator God and we being created. The evolutionist said, I was a tadpole when I began to begin, then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a coconut tree, and now I'm a man with a PhD. Now, can I tell you, it takes a lot more faith to believe that lie, I said that lie, than it does to be able to believe the truth that God created man in his own image. The Bible says, I'm talking about the truth now, the Bible says, over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. See, God doesn't have a problem understanding the sexes. See, that's no problem with God. Now, man's come along, messed it up pretty good. But especially here in our Western civilization, as all the other nations laugh at us. But man, he can mess things up, but God doesn't mess things up. See, if God says it, you can mark it down, it's right. Now, can I tell you this? Can I say this? That it takes a whole lot more faith to muster up to believe a lie than to believe the true and living God. You know, we understand this, that when God said that he created man in his own image, in the image of God created he them, I'm so glad I was created in his image. I'd rather be created in his image than in the image of a monkey. Now, I'm saying this, there's two relationships that you have to work on all the days of your life if you want to be a happy person. What is that? Your relationship with God. Where does it start? It starts through Christ. And so when a person receives Christ as Savior, that is the beginning of an awesome, eternal relationship. And so, but there's another relationship, and that is the relationship with man. The Bible says in the book of John, you hear me quoted often from this place, John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's not me and baptism. It's not me and being good. If the world would just get that part right, we'd be better off. There's so much religions going around. I was listening to Jack Van Impe on the way in this morning on the radio. And he said, well, now, all the Catholic people and all the Protestant people, we're all Christian. That's not true. Being a Christian is a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ being your Savior. It's not religion. Well, I'm Baptist and so I'm Christian. That's not true. Well, I'm Catholic and so I'm Christian. That's not true. Well, I'm Lutheran and so I'm Christian. That's not true. Well, I'm Episcopalian and so I'm a Christian. That's not true. Well, you know, I'm Methodist and so I'm a Christian. That's not true. Becoming a Christian has nothing to do with the claims that a person has on their religious stature. No, it only has to do with your relationship established through Jesus Christ as Savior, him and him only as your Savior. Then you can say dogmatically, according to the truth, that you're a Christian. Now, can I say this? We see this, that facts always outweigh opinions. Statement number one, I said everyone has an opinion. By the way, everyone's entitled to opinion. I'm entitled to taste pizza and make the statement that, oh, that is good. I'm entitled to be able to say, I think that vehicle is better than another vehicle. I'm entitled to say, I like that color shoe. I'm entitled to be able to say, oh, I think it's a beautiful day. You are too. But now when it comes down to Scripture, let God be true. You say, well, what if one day God and I don't agree? Oh, that's easy to figure. Then you're wrong and God's right. Well, what if one day, preacher, you don't agree with God? Oh, that's easy to figure. Then I am wrong and God is right. See, one day I will not stand before me at the judgment seat of Christ, and I determine the reward that I will receive. And one day you will not stand before you with your opinion. And you receive the reward that you think you ought to receive. No, one day we stand before a holy God. And one day we receive the just reward as we should receive. So we understand this. Everyone has an opinion. Statement number two, facts outweigh opinions. Statement number three, try to understand others' opinions. And by the way, when you do that, you'll understand how to get along with somebody else better. Just because you have an opinion that is different than somebody else's opinion doesn't mean it's the proper time to voice it. Your wife says, well, I'll tell you what, this is what I think about you. Shh. Don't say nothing, it'll make your marriage happier. Don't come in and start downgrading your wife. A teenager, just because you think something about your parent doesn't mean it's time or ever even perhaps that you would say something. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we ought to try to understand others' opinions. Where do you get that from, preacher? Well, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So he says, now here's a good thing. He said, come and reason together. Now what's that mean? That means come, if you would please, and be able to talk this thing through, to be able to gain understanding. You know, so many times I've heard people say this. When I first got convicted about being saved, I did not want to be saved. And I wrestled with that inside, and I tried to reason things out, but God won. So many times I've heard stuff like that. Now, can I tell you that as we try to reason together, as the Lord so wants to reason with us about truth, can I tell you that as we try to reason together, it is good to understand where somebody else is coming from. Everybody has opinions. By the way, don't shut your child down so quick when your child shares an opinion that's different than yours. It might give you room to reason with them so they can gain a greater understanding of a truth that will carry them the rest of the days of their life. Most of the time when a child comes and doesn't understand something, and I'm sorry that your child sometimes is not as mature as what they ought to be in their speech as they were asked a question. Sometimes they may sound a little harsh. Well, you might be able to help them with that and say, let me show you how to reword that. Let me show you how to deliver that. Let me show you maybe a different attitude you ought to have in asking that. And can I say to our young people this morning, you always ought to have a teachable attitude. You ought not to have a spirit with your parents that's like this. If you have a spirit with your parents that is like this, that is not a right spirit. That is not family harmony. That is not family unity. You ought to have an open spirit. Let your parents have an open spirit so you can come together and bond. Now, can I say this? Try to understand the other person's opinion. And sometimes when dealing with two adults, sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Stand up, if you will, and argue with me. Just argue with me. Just come on, man. Just.
I don't like your red tie. You need to take that off and give it to somebody else. It'll look better on somebody else.
Thank you for your opinion. But you, when somebody comes against you, do it again, something else. I know you got to think, but hurry.
I don't like that red handkerchief either. Squared. I'll be, you know, spiky or circular, whatever, you know.
If I got in an argument with him, he'd lose. But now watch this, if you will. Okay, I don't have to come back. The Bible says turn the other cheek. Now, here's what we do. He turns my cheek, and I want to turn his cheek. That is not the way it's supposed to be. That's not it. You're reading it awfully wrong. I was preaching over in Nigeria. This really happened. I was preaching over in Nigeria, and I noticed that there was an outbreak, and it was It was the Christians and it was the Muslims, and there was an outbreak. So I asked one of the pastors that I preached for, I said, so what happens during the outbreak? He said, well, the Muslims kill the Christians and the Christians kill the Muslims. He says, but we as Christians, we always make sure that we try to kill twice as many. He said, that defers them from trying to kill us more. Now, can I tell you, that's probably not the attitude that God is thinking of. You're awfully quiet right now. So I've never heard it that way. I know you always hear it the other way. And by the way, the other way is more prevalent than this way. You don't hear about too many Christians that's cutting off people's heads. You do hear a lot about Muslims doing that. But can I tell you, in your relationship, let's get away from the head cutting. Though sometimes you might like to do that, let's get away from that. Let me tell you something. If somebody comes up to you, I'm talking about and just talk. Nobody has a butcher knife in this place. Nobody has a hatchet. Nobody has a machete. All right, but watch this, if you will. In talk, in just general conversation, here's what we do. This is how we react. Say something.
My head is shinier than your shoes. What's wrong with you?
That's because I got brains. You lost yours. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. We could go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but that's not good for anybody. That's not good for you. That's not good for him or her. That's not good for the people involved. That is not good. He said something like that. You could say, it's true. By the way, wasn't that a good sermon? Yeah. Turn that thing around. Somebody says, well, I don't like your face. You don't have to say, well, at least I got one. You don't have to be a smart aleck. You can say, well, thank you for that, or you can say, well, I'm working on trying to make it better. I've worked on it for 57 years. It just hadn't come yet. All right? So I'm saying this. I'm saying that try to understand where others are coming from. Now, it might not always be the slap like he slapped. Okay, it might be that they give an opinion such as, boy, that food was good, and you're sitting there about to throw up. And you're saying, that's the nastiest stuff I ever ate in my life. But you don't have to give your opinion. Somebody said, I did my very best, and I cleaned the room. And then you see four or five things that's out of place. And you think you want to say, no, you did not. I'm saying this, you don't always have to give others your opinion. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11 that says, the fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. So a wise man many times will refrain his tongue from saying things until he's completely studied the matter, and then afterwards he will speak. Let me give you one more thought. I said thought number one, that everyone has an opinion. Thought number two, facts outweigh opinions. Statement number three, I said try to understand others' opinions. Statement number four, and I'm done, opinions without facts are just opinions. Amen. Opinions without facts are just opinions. By the way, don't take things personal when somebody says something to you. Don't always be on the defensive. Don't always feel like you have to guard your ground. Don't always feel like that, man, I tell you what, I've got to protect me. Don't worry about that. Just decide that you're going to try and live for God. Amen. Just decide that you're going to try and serve God. Just decide that you're going to try and put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life, and that's really all that matters. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, then it says this, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I take the word of truth and I try to rightly divide it so that I know what decisions to make and when to make those decisions. Sometimes the what is very apparent, but the when is not so apparent. Sometimes we know what to do, but we also need to know when to do it. Does not the Bible say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? So what do I do? God, what step do you want me to take? God, is this the right direction to take that step? God, I want to be in perfect harmony with you through the Holy Ghost, and show me the step that I'm supposed to take. God, direct me in my steps. Every step that you take is a step of influence. And so make sure that you take the right step so that you can make sure you give the right influence. Last verse, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible says here, it says that a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And so God says, here's a wise son. Teach me more. Dad, teach me more. Show me something more. God, would you help me through my dad to understand even more? So a wise son is always trying to learn the more. He's hearing that father's instruction. But here comes a son. A scorner means critic. And so, but a scorner heareth not the rebuke. All right, so what do? I understand that opinions without facts, man, they're just opinions. Right. You know, don't get upset when somebody shares their opinion that might be different than your opinion. Now, by the way, opinions are important to everyone that has them. So when somebody gives you their opinion, don't slap them. Because their opinion does matter to them. Proof in case, if it did not matter to them, they would not have told you. And the greater, the more urgent that somebody expresses their opinion, beware, because the more that matters to them. So the more vocal they are about their opinion, the more earnest they are that that opinion is of the utmost importance to them. So what do? You listen not only to the opinion, you listen to how they're expressing the opinion, because now you know that must be important to them. And by the way, it might not be important to you because you don't live in their world. Sometimes you have to step back. Oh, can I help you, please? Sometimes you have to step back into somebody else's world, see where they're coming from in order to be able to understand how to help them. Now, you may never live in their world, but because of the way they're expressing themselves, you can understand their world. Come on. Can I tell you that my wife and I have both different emotional makeups? We do. You know, and because of that, I believe we gel together very well. Because we have different emotional makeups. Can I tell you that everybody in this room has a different emotional makeup? I'm telling you, when I get preaching heavy, oh, some of the men, they say amen. And some of them sit in absolute silence. Now, that doesn't mean that one's more spiritual than the other. What that means is that that is the way that God made them. I've watched people go to ball games, and they come apart. I mean, they get up and shout. They're waving that hanky. They're jumping up and down. Sweat is coming off them more than the players that's on the field or on the court. I mean, if they could be a part of the team, that team would now probably win. And they're so emotionally intact. And I watch another dad sitting beside that dad who's falling asleep during the ball game. I mean, it's two total different individuals. But aren't you glad that not everybody's the same? God says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Aren't you glad that God gave different people different personalities? Because inside of those personalities, God can be able to use that in your life and in my life to help me to become more balanced, to help me to be able to have more character. Don't expect everybody to be just like you. We're all different. I hear some people laugh. And they have this high, screeching pitch of a laugh. I hear other people laugh and they go down deep. I see people that laugh all the time. I see people that don't even know the word laugh. They don't laugh ever. I see some people walk around, they're smiling all the time. I see other people walking around and I don't even know if they've ever smiled. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Don't keep putting people in your little sack or your little box and saying, in order for them to be right with God, they got to be just like me. I thank God they're not just like you. Because you don't want everybody to be the same. When it comes to truth, we're all on the same page. God, you said it. Doesn't matter if I believe it. Somebody says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, it's not. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. God's not interested in your opinion. He doesn't need you to help write the Bible. It's done. So when God said it, it's settled. Now, I can have an opinion about what God says, but when it comes down to the truth of the living Word of God, can I tell you that once God says it, it is settled, it's complete, it's done. So we're not talking about truth. We're talking about opinions. Just be careful when it comes to opinions that it doesn't ruin yourself with someone else. By the way, did I say this already? Opinions do matter. I have a truck, thank the Lord, and you're very kind, those of you that participated in buying the preacher the truck. Thank you so much. I'll be forever grateful. Thank you. In the truck, it has two dials up front. My wife can sit on this side, and she can adjust the air on this side. Now, by the way, I like it cool. I mean, I could live in 69-degree weather, 65-degree weather. I could live there all year long. I like it cool. It might be because I have extra insulation. But I like it cool. My wife is not that way, can I tell you? You set that thing on 71, 72, 73, and beyond. And she's happy. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you that there's two different... You've seen these beds? Have you seen these beds? They've been out for quite some time. It's not a new thing. But the beds where somebody adjusts their side and they sleep half sitting up. The other person sleeping and their feet is up but their head is down. I mean, all right, now wait a minute. What is that? That's an opinion. That's an opinion. Some people, when it's raining outside, they use an umbrella. Other people, I'll never use an umbrella. I'm a man, you know? Yeah. Now, I'm saying that when it comes to opinions, let people have their opinions. It's not going to break you. Well, I'll tell you what, they shouldn't have their... When I first became a pastor, I remember one message I preached, and I said, now, there's a difference between a preference box and a conviction box. Conviction is based on the Word of God there. A preference, what is that? That's your opinion. And by the way, everybody's entitled to have an opinion. Now, I'm saying this. Different opinions do matter. Make sure you treat them the right way. And guess what? You'll get along better with people around you. Father, help us, I pray, this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.